Good afternoon.
How are we feeling?
I'm doing pretty good.
I'm pretty tense.
We're all pretty tense. We're a day late. Also, we should put that out there. It's Wednesday because I have been quite ill over the last couple days. And
Nico had cramps.
Menstruating.
I had cramps. It happens. I went through so many tampons. But that's over with, and now we're here on a Wednesday night doing the podcast. Nick, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Is it?
It's all right. It's not too bad.
You're just gonna watch me play this until I'm done, aren't you?
I'm still trying to figure out how it works. Is it like Sudoku, kind of? Like, you go with what you know, and then you just kind of guess the rest and hope it works?
Well, no.
Intelligent guessing?
No.
Is that your Sudoku strategy?
Yeah. How many do you finish?
That's certainly my Minesweeper.
I'm actually quite
strategy.
Good at Sudoku.
I am too. Minesweeper, that's my strategy.
Oh, though. I love Minesweeper.
Certainly.
Click around, see what happens.
Oh, no, Minesweeper, you can figure it out easily.
You know, the worst thing about Minesweeper is when you click a bomb and you lose, like, the first thing you click is a bomb.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Which isn't, I don't think it's supposed to happen. I think there's, like, a 1% chance or something. But
not fair.
It's scum, man. Because I thought the game generates after you click.
No.
You know what I mean? That's
no,
why I always...
No, it's like a lottery ticket. It's there before you start.
That's bull.
Yeah, I don't
man,
like that.
Man, you can get fucked.
I don't
over.
Like that whatsoever. You were not here last week. You were busy working hard for your money, because you're a strong, independent woman.
Who don't need no man.
But I have one.
That's right. Yeah, you have two.
Thacky.
And, Nico. Well, all right. Oh, okay, well, thank
How
you.
How you doing?
Did you just get a Puerto Rican? Is that what just happened?
I think you just changed like 10 races over the last like 30 seconds. That's incredible. You were working hard. Zach and I did the Batcast last week.
My favorite podcast ever.
It was a good one.
It was a really good podcast.
What actually. Percentage was Adam West?
A lot of it.
A good chunk of it.
A good chunk.
We started off talking about how Adam West wasn't the perfect choice for Batman. Well, not true.
Actually, well, I thought we were quite complimentary of Adam West.
Yeah, well, Nico said he found it weird that they cast somebody like Adam West.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, no, he was like a good-looking dude. He was, like, in shape. And
sure.
Like he
Was
he
that
was
in
like,
shape back then? Is that what they considered in shape?
Yeah, I think so.
They didn't have high standards.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, today all of
the...
The
president was in a wheelchair, so...
That's true. That's true.
You know, movement is considered in shape, you know?
Yeah, I mean, all the men today are, like, super mutant, like, vegan,
By
like...
the way, I don't think FDR was president in 66.
I don't think he was
I'm pretty
either.
Pretty sure he wasn't.
No, I don't think so, but because, you know, he died before then, about 20 years before.
He had AIDS, right?
AIDS?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he had polio.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Wait. A little different. I don't even think AIDS was really, like, a thing. I don't know.
The government didn't create it back
Yeah,
then.
I don't think the government had it yet.
Back when a dude fucked a monkey and all of a sudden
it wasn't on shelves yet. You couldn't buy that.
It wasn't on shelves.
Oh, my God.
Well, gays didn't exist.
That's true.
Until the 80s.
That's true. That 100%. They just came up in the 80s. Tom Hanks. And,
well, like, no. I mean, like, men had sex with other men, but it wasn't called that.
No.
It was just...
I think it was called witchcraft back then.
Well, if you go back far enough, it was just called Romans.
Sizzling hot Roman joke. Oh, my God. Shots fired, man, at ancient Romans. Hearing that, Russell Crowe? Jesus Christ.
Jesus rolled over his grave.
Gerard Butler is pissed right now.
I can imagine.
Yeah. But no, we did talk a lot about Batman. It was
what set off this conversation? Did you guys actually watch a Batman thing?
No.
You just talked?
So no, he was just thinking about like stuff to talk about, and he sent me a text and he goes, "How about a podcast on Batman?" I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. We didn't want to structure, or I didn't want to structure out of anything when I asked him, just because, like, he's such an encyclopedia of Batman knowledge. I just wanted to tap into it and do some digging. And I found the one thing that, you know, Zach will not stop talking about. And you could just keep asking him questions, and he'll have opinions, and he'll have factoids, and he watched documentaries on things. So we went through, like, the whole history of it, and it was a...
You watched documentaries?
Okay, well, no. Okay.
Well, they involved
so,
Batman.
So that day...
Oh, good.
Like, no, before he texted me, I was already watching a documentary about the 66 series.
Yeah.
And also during that day, I bought all of the original series on DVD.
Yeah. He loves the Adam West Batman, too, was something we discovered.
Yeah, and I was wearing my Batman shirt.
But we talked about the difference between the original, we won't get too much into this, but the original Batman in Batman and Robin, And I said, you know, the original Batman, it's nostalgic, right? Like, oh, it's the how kooky and crazy these characters are with the BAMs and the POWs and whatnot.
My favorite? Wimpf.
Sure. you know, then you go to Batman and Robin in the late 90s, and all of a sudden Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy are in it, and Rubber Lips and things like that.
The bat nipples.
And now it's dumb, and now we can't enjoy it, and it's the worst movie ever, and I was trying to figure out what the difference between the two was.
Yeah.
You know?
Go back and listen to it if you didn't. It was a good podcast.
Yes.
We had fun.
I would actually recommend listening to that hour-and-a-half podcast over seeing Batman versus Superman in the theaters. I think that is a better use of your time.
But you said we're not talking about it.
That's right. We're not going to talk about it.
Because I haven't seen it yet.
That abomination. That movie should have been aborted.
We're not talking about it.
Okay. It should have just been
Nico,
clothes-hanger Nico, abortion to that Nico, fucking movie.
Nico. That's a little harsh.
No, it's not.
Nico, I will unplug your mic.
All right.
did you say I haven't seen it? Yes, I have.
Oh, that's right. You have.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
He hasn't seen it.
Yeah. You said it to me, though, the way you said it.
Oh, yeah. He totally said that to you.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Straight up.
Yeah. That's right. We just argued about it.
Yeah, I know. Like,
I'm in a weird space, guys.
That's why we were tense.
I'm sick. I've been in a rut. I'm slowly coming out of the rut, though. It's been a rut. Yeah. Well documented.
We had a nice conversation about your rut.
We had a deep talk.
Yeah, we did.
Deep dive.
Yeah. Glad you're coming out of it.
Dive into the rut.
That was a dark Nico. I don't like dark Nico.
There was a dark Nico.
That was a dark Nico.
That's a Nico you don't need to see.
No.
It's an ugly side of Nico.
It was a dark Nico, Nick.
Yeah.
It was a dark and stormy Nico.
It made me think of Donnie Darko.
It was worse than that. I was more... My inner soul was more hideous than the bunny in that.
Well, no, it's that night, he was like way up here, like happy. He was like making jokes and having fun. And then like all of a sudden you were just like straight down.
That was...
You just like became Peter Pan's shadow.
That was what night? Who were we hanging out with?
John.
Oh, that was that night. Yeah. There was a worse night because I went to the casino this past week.
Yeah.
And
I went to the casino. You don't even have money.
Well, now, exactly. Now I have even less.
Good. Go with Marissa. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Of course.
How much did she lose?
Not as much as me. I lost more than anyone.
Really? She lost less than you.
Did she win any? I mean...
No. Yeah. Jimmy was up, actually. He lost a little bit, though, too.
But Marissa is not a good gambler at all.
Well, she doesn't know when to...
Like, in the slightest.
Quit. Right. Well, she also doesn't understand the rules of the game.
Yeah. She so just goes and hopes somebody will say, oh, yeah, don't do this, or hey, you just won.
Yes.
Like, she'll just go and go and go until she's out of money.
So I'm at the casino.
Which she has. I've seen it. It's actually kind of funny.
Yes.
We were there together one time.
And were we?
Yeah, the first time.
Oh, you guys went? I don't think he was there the first time.
I never went with you.
No.
Are you sure?
He came with us the second time.
I thought the first time we went.
He wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
With Marissa and Jimmy.
Separate group.
Nope.
Separate group. I went with him, Jimmy, Marissa, and Vinny one time. And we also went the four of us without you this time.
Yeah.
Just considerably less fun, by the way,
I went with that same group, except not you.
Right. And I think that says something about Zach Caponegro. I learned something.
I am fun, guys.
I learned, you know what?
I'm fun.
Something's missing in this dynamic. And I think that was Zach. But anyway, we were going to go to the $5 electronic blackjack table, which is where we dominate. We had a whole plan. We were going to come in and slowly take over the table until just all of us just owned it, right? And the whole thing was filled. So we're like, oh, fuck, we got to play some blackjack. We're here. Go downstairs, $10 table wide open, right? I sit down, put my...
You did pretty good when we went on that $10 table.
Sure.
No, you were up, and then we moved tables, and you, like, lost it all.
Right. So I go and put the $10 in, and the first bet, and I think I lose on the first bet, and that kind of sucked. I do it again, and I lost again. And I'm down, I think, 25 because I split eights. Don't ask me why I split eights.
Why would you split eights?
I think the dealer had like a seven or something.
Split eights. Come, you know this.
I split eights. End up being down like $30. All of a sudden, I hit blackjack on the next turn, and I bet 20 that time. I'm back up $5. I have been now given a second chance by the gambling gods. Leave this table, this demon-possessed table that you're at. It is bad news for you. Go. You're now up. Leave. Of course, I can't stop there, though.
Yeah, no, of course
I'm an
not.
Obsessive gambler. I got to keep going. I'm chasing that high right now. I'm on a streak. And the next hand's about to go. And again, I'm up $5. 45 is currently in the system. And I'm like, all right, next turn, let's go. And I start pressing the button. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And I just keep tapping it if they can't hear over and over again. Let's go. Here we go. Next hand gets dealt. As I'm hitting the button, what I don't realize is that as the card's about to be dealt, it's going to count every single click.
Yeah.
$30 on one hand. it turned into.
Yep.
And then lost that all, and then it was all downhill from there. Ended up losing 90 that night.
Wow.
Not good.
That's
not
like,
good.
That's like half your bank account.
It's my whole bank account.
I was going to say, that is his
actually,
bank account.
Well, no, that's because I had it in cash. But Jimmy actually, because I on the way home, I was considerably more depressed, and I continued to fall into my rut. And Jimmy goes to me, because my uncle gave me the cash, my gambling addict uncle. I won't call him an addict, but he enjoys gambling. And Jimmy goes, you know, it was going there anyway.
That's fair. Well, at least you didn't lose your money.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
So you were depressed.
Yeah, a little bit.
And then you decided to go gambling?
That's right.
Yeah. I was looking forward to it. I don't know how he got there. I don't know where that train of thought went.
Because we were talking about casino trip. Yeah, let's go. Let's go gamble. It'll be fun.
It's being like, I feel unclean. Like, let's go to a strip club. Like, what is wrong with you?
Because I wanted fun. I was not having fun. That was one of the sources of this depression. You should have gone on a flight. Not a bad idea.
Why didn't you jump on a trampoline for a couple hours? That would have been significantly more fun.
Not a bad idea.
Why trampoline didn't you go putt-putt?
Ooh. You know what? Next time, I'm just going to mini golf. I'm out on casinos, by
if
the
you
way.
Want, if no, you want, you're not. Bet your friends.
I'm out.
On mini golf. How's that sound?
I have in the past.
My favorite,
it's a great time.
My favorite sort of thing that I know about him and his gambling is it was me, him, and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to see something.
Okay.
I don't remember what.
It wasn't Star Wars, was it?
No. Oh, no. He was late. What movie was that?
Oh, James Bond.
Spectre,
yeah.
Yeah.
So we go. Ooh, yeah. All right, we get there. We buy the tickets. And then we're like, okay, let's push it back so Nick can come with us. Because we all felt, seriously, we all felt terribly that you couldn't go.
Right. So
we were like, oh, shit. What did I do? Move
I don't remember the story.
I remember something happening, and I was like, ah, fuck, but yeah. Okay.
So we moved it, and then I was like, okay, I bought everyone's tickets because I was there first, and it was just easier.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what, fuck it, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Nico and Mike showed up.
Right.
So we're like, okay, we're gonna go eat.
Yeah.
So we went to go eat, and we went to Gobi. So yeah. I went up to get a plate of food. I came back, and he and Mike were talking about gambling.
Oh,
now
no.
Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
He goes...
It could be any conversation
Nico,
I have every day.
Nico goes, I'm done. I'm giving up gambling. Like, I can't do it. I'm giving it up. Like, I need to stop.
Exactly Mike, what I said now?
Yeah. Mike goes, no, you won't. And Nico goes, yeah, I will. Mike goes, hey, do you want to put $10 on this game coming up? He goes, yeah, sure, let's do it.
You have a problem.
Like 10 seconds. That's how long he lasted giving gambling up.
I think I won that bet, though.
You did win that bet.
Did I ever get all my money from Star Wars? I can't remember.
No, you didn't.
No, you did not.
How because, much? Yeah, how
because
much...
Marissa owes me $25 and I owe you $25. So
I got some because he bought me into a game of poker.
Okay.
No, I gave you half. Because I gave you a $20 bill at one point, then I bought you in for another $5.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
There's 25 left, but Marissa owes me 25, so I've been trying to get her to pay you.
Yeah, but she said she wants to pay you, then you pay me.
Yes.
She wants it to go that way.
Sure. We can do that. Yes, I still owe you half the Star Wars bet, though.
I thought so.
Absolutely. Had I done better at the casino, I think I would have been able to.
How many people owe you money? There's at least two sitting
here. They're both at the stable.
That's it. That's it.
That's
we're
it.
The only two people
owe you
money.
That's fine.
I'm paying you in twos, by the way. You realize that.
Twos?
Twos are currency.
Yeah.
Like a $2 bill?
I owe him $200. We did the math, quote-unquote, air quotes around math.
Yes.
And between just food.
I did a rough estimate.
He gave a really rough estimate. And he goes, like $200.
Yeah.
It's probably more.
Yeah.
I was lenient.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then we agreed that I would pay you $100. I don't know how we got there, but we did. But I'm like, no, you know, eventually I'm like, you know, I'm going to pay you the $200. But I've decided I'm going to go to banks. I'll go to bank after bank after bank until I have 100 twos. And I'm going to give him the twos.
I would take it.
Yeah,
would you take it? Absolutely. All those $2 bills?
Yeah.
I'm in. I love the $2 bill.
I love the $2 bill.
Oh, it's the best. Who's on the $2 bill? Jefferson?
No.
Adams?
Jefferson.
Oh!
Oh, it is Jefferson.
Oh, you have one.
Jefferson's on the $2 bill. Yeah, I got it right in front of me.
Oh.
Yeah, I knew you had one.
I also have my old-timey $5 bill.
Do you still have that old 20?
No, I had to spend it.
Oh, dude, you never spend it. Look, I still have it.
I needed to spend it.
Look.
There needs to be, like, more murals on the
those
back
are,
of
what
bills.
Are those are from Dubai. Oh. Say it like I still have my old 20.
I'll give you a 20 for it.
No.
I'll give you a 25.
Look at the back of it. I love,
you
like,
you want to give me a 5 for a 5?
I don't know about that. Yeah, no, the back is, like...
I love the... Is that the Declaration?
It's them, signing the Constitution, no?
one of those.
Never seen so many motherfuckers on a bill. Mm. So many people.
I mean, Clinton's interns, maybe.
No, they were signing the Declaration of Independence. It
says, wow, so many fuckers on a bill. I get it.
Not a bad joke.
Bill Clinton's interns.
The audience liked it.
You're a douche.
The audience liked that 90s humor. Okay. Ready? Let's talk about the thing we were here to talk about.
What thing? Is it our friend?
Your friend and mine?
My friend and yours?
Lord Steve?
The Lord Steve.
No, we're talking about our two friends. Horace.
Wallace and Gromit? I'm sorry. I got mixed up.
What is the name of the NFL player who legally changed his name to Ocho Cinco? Chad Johnson. Chad Ocho Cinco.
Why do you keep playing games?
I'm sorry. Why it's trivia crack. I'm addicted to it.
Why are you playing?
I can do two things at once.
Okay. No. Horace and Pete. It's a show that we started a couple weeks ago, and we said, you know what? Let's do some more recaps on it. Louis C.K.'s independently produced web series, dramedy, comedy, drama.
Did you really just name those three genres as if...
It could be any of those. We're not really sure. Louis C.K., over the past week, however, I saw an article. He has nominated Horace and Pete for a number of Emmys for...
He has?
For June.
Like, yeah, he chose...
You have to submit. When you're a producer, you submit to series, right?
I didn't know that.
Oh, no, he didn't, like, choose, like... He didn't declare, yes, Horace and Pete, my own show, is nominated for an Emmy.
Oh, no, I've literally thought that...
You know, if I was one of the people... It's not, if I was one of the people in charge of the Emmys, I would produce my own show and then just nominate it.
That's not bad. No, that's... If it worked like that, that'd be pretty
good. That's what I'm
saying. I think I should do... We should have our own... Well, oh, we do have our own award show.
Yeah.
I take that back.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I did
it already. We had our first annual with Tatties.
Yeah.
That was your idea.
It was 100% your idea.
It was a great idea.
Zach and I wouldn't have done that. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, of course we'd have to do something.
We'd have to listen to our podcasts.
Yeah.
That's true. Horace and Pete was submitted in the drama category at the Emmys this year. So
I mean, Louis, it is more drama than anything else.
Do you think so?
Oh my god, yeah.
Louis thinks so. I guess we can keep revisiting this question.
So the thing is, I don't know if he can really... To him, it's obviously drama because you could tell where it's coming from, right? I don't think he can escape the comedy. I think that's just a part of him.
Right, well, he is a comedian.
I don't think it's intentional.
Well, no, and
a lot of it is.
I think he thinks that he is someone who does a monologue on stage, and then everybody else just labeled him comedian.
No, I think we think of it as a comedy because, I mean, you said it when we were watching. As soon as we, like, see Steve Buscemi, we start cracking
he
up.
He literally walked out, said, good morning, and we were dying on the floor.
We couldn't stop laughing.
I don't think Louis is that type of comedian, though. Like... Gilbert Gottfried's that type of comedian. That's why I love Gilbert Gottfried. He just goes out on stage.
You're talking about the guy who took two plates together and was like making clacking noises? You're telling me he thinks he's a monologue? Monologuist? I know the word for that.
Sure.
He who monologues?
He or she.
It who monologues.
Gilbert Gottfried goes out on stage, just talks in his normal voice, and people laugh at him. They don't know what he's saying. They just laugh at him. I think Louis C.K., it is carefully constructed comedy. I mean, like, there's the scene in here, the sexual fantasy scene, not to get too ahead of ourselves. That is a great piece of comedy.
I think it's poetry.
Fair enough.
I think it's deep from his heart.
At the end of the day, though, isn't comedy poetry?
No.
Okay. That's fine.
Here's the idea. It's up there.
Shotgun blast.
Yeah.
Pull!
Boom! But, yeah, I guess that's interesting that he... because, actually... I don't know how many episodes of Louis you guys watched, but it's a similar sort of tone. And even as it goes on in later seasons, it does sort of turn more dramatic, but that's still considered a comedy. So I mean,
the only episode I remember was, honestly, I think it was the pilot episode.
Yeah.
But that just smacks you right in the face with comedy.
Not always. See, actually, later on, he sort of escapes that because he's like, I'm just sick
of
making
chick
jokes. So
later on, we don't get the random chick flying away in the helicopter.
Right. You don't really get as much as that. You actually get... Like, there was an episode that's brilliant in, I think, the fifth season where a fat girl has, like, a five-minute monologue about girls being fat and how it's unfair how we're being treated. And there's not a single joke in that entire monologue. And you would think for a sitcom, that's really weird, but people loved it for some reason. I don't know. It's
playing
weird.
A fun game right now where I missed the name of the show we're talking about, so I'm trying to piece it together.
Louis.
Oh, it is Louis. Okay. I just somehow spaced out for a second, Louis, and when we came in, I was like, what's going on?
I just want to go, Louis.
Oh, boy.
I've seen scattered episodes of Louis,
yeah.
Which is a very confusing way to watch it.
Oh my god, yeah, it's...
Yeah, well, he'll also do like 5-6 episode arcs. Like, there was a... Yeah, I forget what the name of the... I think it was called Elevator or something, but that was the name of the episode, and there was Elevator Part 1, Elevator Part 2, Elevator Part 3. There was, like, 5 weeks this whole thing went along.
It was, like, in an elevator, or was it about an elevator?
I don't think... strangely enough, not about an elevator. I mean, I guess if you could... Well, all right, now I'm going to analyze this five-episode arc on Louis, but there are a lot of ups and downs in his life within that five-episode arc.
Yourself.
And maybe, you know, it was a metaphorical elevator going on up and down, you know? Because are we going to let the elevator bring us down? Oh, no, let's go.
Unless we're going down, I mean.
I mean, either, yeah.
If we're trying to get to the...
We kind of have to.
First floor.
The audience... The audience loved my Prince reference, by the way. The audience loved it.
We didn't.
His royal badness. We loved that. They...
Good thing we have the power to shut the audience up.
The artist formerly known as Prince has switched cellular carriers.
Through the power of one directional media, we can shut the audience out of this entire equation.
Now, one directional media, does that include Zayn or no?
It does.
Okay.
That deserves it. Mainly because I was thinking it,
yeah,
and then he said it.
Good.
You see how that works?
And so Zach thinks it's funny.
Of course.
Right.
That's why costume is still funny.
It's not.
It's hilarious.
All right. Let's talk about episode two then. Let's dig in.
Like I said before, I think we need to do a little bit of recap on what we talked about in episode one a little bit. All right. Just a tad.
Hit me.
So.
Okay.
No.
You can't say that around me, Nico.
That was close. That was a close little swap.
After I beat you with a selfie stick, you should know to watch what you said.
He did beat me with a selfie stick.
So, recap of episode one.
I don't know who deserved the damage more, Nico or the stick.
Equally.
Okay, so no, I'm just trying to remember what we took away from episode one. So I think the main thing that we tried taking away was this this balance between new media and old media, I guess, right?
That's what you guys took away
from it. And also youth and old age, I guess.
Yeah.
And how they kind of complement each other.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that's what we talked about.
Well, the clashing of new writing and new ideas and relevancy and currency with the old sitcom nature of the actual filmmaking, and how that is similar to the clash between the older generation in the show and the younger generation in the show, and how, you know, their ideologies sometimes clash and you sympathize with both and you're not exactly sure which one's right and wrong. Yeah. We did talk about that.
And I would say that theme definitely still relevant.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely still relevant.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's going to be carried throughout the whole series. I mean...
And there's a scene in this episode, too, which we'll get to, that involves a Tinder date. That
exactly.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Which
and that's coupled next to a date between two very very old people.
Right. Yes. Well, and that also the Tinder date involved a somewhat older woman with a.
Well, I don't know. I didn't think they were different ages. You guys both were like kind of thinking the teacher student.
Well,
right.
Well, he said it, and I agreed with it because, I mean...
No, that was the intention,
I don't think it was. The entire time I watched that scene, I thought they were the same age until you brought it up.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I looked at it, and I didn't think, oh, you know, he's 18 and she's 40. She looked maybe early 30s, and he looked sort of early mid 20s.
I would say he looked like 20. I mean, to me, he looked like 24, and she looked like 29.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a slight age difference, but definitely compared to the older date between Martha? Is it Marsha or Martha? Who's Jessica Lange's character?
Marsha.
Between Marsha and the guy who's tired.
Yeah.
you mean the guy who sells tires, just not to confuse people?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It was a joke made in the show.
It was a bad joke in the show.
I love any line Leon delivers.
I guess that's fair.
Leon's pretty great.
Leon's an interesting character.
Yes.
So, yeah, definitely still relevant. And, I mean, as we know, with this show, dialogue's important.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love the pureness. Do you know what I mean? It sounds like real conversation.
Well, yeah, no.
That's what I like.
And that's what I was saying... Last episode, it seems like if you were to go to any sort of old bar with old patrons, that's what it would be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think it seems like all Louis would do would go to a coffee shop or something, sit down, and just be like, oh, what are they talking about? And then write that down and write it into a script.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like to me. It was something real that happened.
Yeah.
Or something that happens and Louis just wrote it down.
Sure. It is, yeah, it's very plain. It feels like you're just watching a VHS of a camera that was just left rolling in a bar, and it feels like you're sort of invading the characters in that way, right? Like, it feels like, oh, you feel a little dirty sometimes watching what happens between these characters, more so on other shows, just because it's like, oh, I don't want to know about this odd just erotic dream that's happening between Louis and Jessica Lange, and I don't want to know about this.
Yeah.
I don't want to know about Buscemi's problems. I don't want to know about the sister's breast cancer, you know?
Yeah.
So it does, but I don't know if that's the intention of the show. I feel like that's just the way that old TV used to be. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think he's definitely taking the style of old TV, but he's definitely presenting issues that would not have been on TV then.
Mm. I mean, there's no way they were going to be talking about refugees.
For sure.
Even if it was happening back then, they wouldn't be talking about it.
I don't even think they would talk about breast cancer just because it has the word breast in it.
Good point.
That's like, you know what I mean? That's the type of era we're looking at.
Sure, sure. And disease, I mean, yeah, you wouldn't, of course.
And that's why it's kind of funny that you see the old generation being so dirty in this. And the young generation is, I mean, less so, I'd say.
Well, it's kind of funny because just from my experience, I mean, my family and family friends and all this stuff, the older people are like more crass and they do all these things. Whereas I think our generation was too sheltered by being PC and saying like, oh, you can't say these things. Whereas back then they really didn't, like, it was like sort of a tangent.
I think they grew up quicker back then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they grew up quicker. Like today, but we're sheltered by, like, there's not, oh, male and female. There's all these different genders and people can get offended. And it seems like it's easier to offend people nowadays, so people try to not offend people, where back then they just either didn't care at all, or no one took offense to anything.
That's true. I mean, we try to be less offensive, I guess.
Now, did TV do the opposite? Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, because TV back then, they were so very careful about what you could say, and now people don't care. But, but in the real world, it's the opposite.
See, that's odd. It's I guess this is a big contradiction in all of media, but back then it was all, you can't say dirty words, you can't show nudity, you can't even have characters sleeping in the same bed because you don't want to be non-Christian or you don't want to be risque, you don't want to let the kids see it or whatever the motivation is there. However, showing sexism and bigotry was sort of a normal thing.
I was going to say, we were watching All in the Family.
Right. But All in the Family was, that's intentional. But
I know that, but I mean,
there are other shows that are less so, that are just purely just sexist and they'll just put those values out there. And now we've sort of switched where we need to be very conscientious of everybody's feelings and not to offend and to be politically correct. However, anything goes. Like, you can show boobs, you can show dick, you can show whatever.
You just can't say the wrong thing.
Now, I think we've gotten better. I'm not saying that this is a step in the wrong direction the way that we have grown. But is either ideology 100% right?
No.
I don't think either side is 100% correct, and it's something that the show plays around with. But...
Well, yeah, it bothers me. So a question I want to ask you guys, but I already know the answer, is does this show take a side? And obviously...
It doesn't.
It doesn't. No. And it's like a great example, too. Now, we said, in general, the young generation tends to be more conservative about what they say.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no. But both sides are aware of what they're saying. Both sides have certain lines that they will not cross. It's just different what they're drawing the lines around.
Well, yeah. Specifically, though, the one I wanted to focus on was the girl with Tourette's. She's young, and yet she has no filter. And she's saying what's really on her mind. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, no. It wasn't – I mean, it was
– What is that? What do you think of that?
Is it no filter, or is it just an impulse that she can't help?
Well, she said, because she has Tourette's, so she said she has to hold it back, and the more she holds it back, the more she has to say bad things to itch.
Mm.
True. To believe that itch is what she's saying. But, like, so she said it, and, like, even now, I'm not going to say what she said.
I'm thinking about it, though. That's an interesting idea.
Because, she didn't... Just say something offensive, though.
Yeah. She used the N-word. Use the N-word.
Yeah.
She used the N-word.
Because a black guy.
Because she saw a black guy.
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah, and she said it, but then after she said, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, like, she was making up for it and all this thing, but Alan Alda was just like, no, fuck it, say it, I don't give a shit.
Well, no, the first thing he says is go, yeah, my kind of girl.
Yeah, my
kind
of girl.
That's what he says.
Like, he was, but...
That's an interesting idea, though, because you have... I wonder if this is sort of a commentary on the younger generation, because you have Alan Alda's character that I think we're certainly supposed to be appalled by him at certain times.
Yeah.
We should be sympathetic towards him, but we're also like, oh, that's old and racist and bad. But by showing this younger, I mean, obviously it's a disorder and there's a lot of gray area you can get into, but I could see the argument being these younger people are still thinking it. Right?
That's
yeah.
The younger people still have it in them. They still have the capability of being bad. They have the exact, not necessarily that they have any ill will in their hearts or that they have malice or that racism has not gotten better, but they still have the potential to be just as horrible, to be just as mean-spirited, to be just as bigoted as the generation before them. And that to look down on those people, even though... You know, even though they're more open with their bigotry, doesn't mean that bigotry doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Weird to sort of say that, make that statement with Tourette's, because it is a tough subject, rather.
I have something very... If you, I don't know if you want to talk.
Yeah. You talk first, then you can offend me.
Okay, well, I was...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not
well,
on
no,
purpose.
Well, no, I was going to say that, you know, we even see it... I mean, what we're all talking about all happened within 10 minutes,
yeah.
If that.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the young quote unquote young couple who came in, mm-hmm. the people who met on Tinder, mm-hmm. versus Marsha and the guy who sells tires. Like,
let's do that.
Their conversations. I want to talk about their conversations and the difference between old and the way they thought and acted and all this stuff versus how the young do it. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, she said, you know, why did you swipe me? I was the first one who came up and you said yes and you don't care. Which
I hate that Tinder's in TV shows, yeah. by the way, now.
It
just gives me the... it's so gross. I feel gross.
I mean, technically, they never use the word Tinder. There are other dating sites use it now, too. They actually use the swipe feature.
Yeah,
swipe
but it's implied that they met through an app.
Yes.
Oh, I don't like that that's in TV now. I mean, I hate being a millennial.
How do you think that you're going to meet somebody one day?
Fair point. That's
fair.
Good point.
But so...
She's going to have a podcast. I'm going to have a podcast. We're going to stare longingly into each other's RSS
microphones.
Feeds. Yeah. I'm going to slowly peel back her streaming service of choice. And we're going to lock
let
it.
Let her enter you.
Yes. And lock it in an eternal kiss of USB ports. What were you saying?
So the younger couple's whole conversation was, you know, this woman, she clearly knew what the guy wanted. She straight up said, oh, you just want to do it. You just want to fuck.
Right.
And the kid's like, yeah, that's all I want to do. I want to fuck. Mm. Like, and it's, that's all they want to do. Whereas you go back to.
But that's where I think the age thing came into play, though. She didn't want to do that, though. Well, she wanted a more intimate relationship.
She agreed to it.
No.
But yeah, she was more mature than him, though.
No, exactly. But she did agree. She knew of it. She knew, okay, this is what he wants and blah, 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 blah. But then you compare it to Marsha and... What was that guy's name? I want to say Ed. Sure. It wasn't Ed, but I'm saying
Ed. Fine.
Between Marsha and Ed. And it started with a B. What the hell was
Bill?
It?
Bill? Bob?
I don't know.
Mr. Tire.
Okay, Mr. Tire. I'll look up his name. Go ahead.
Between Marsha and Ed, you know...
Bill.
Was it Bill?
No.
They... Marsha didn't want to do anything. She wants to stay at the bar, and that's already established. But... Ed was like, you know, you're beautiful.
Dennis.
Was it Dennis?
Yes, it was Dennis.
Okay.
That's right.
So
Jack O'Connell.
So that sounds familiar.
It's not, what's his face?
Dennis was saying like, oh, you're beautiful. Let's go do something. He says, let's go paint the town red. You know, let's go somewhere. I'm, you know, you're a nice woman. I'm a nice guy. Let's go to
You're a doll. You're a dame.
Yeah. And.
Yeah, see?
And. At one point, he says, he was talking about fishing, and he said, a mullet, and she goes, what's that, the fish? He goes, yeah, it's a big fucking fish. Pardon my French. He immediately turned around and said, oh, I shouldn't be talking like that.
Somewhat. here's
right. That's what. Yes, that's exactly right. It's that for them, it is simply just dirty words because you don't want to be crass.
Yeah.
You don't want to not be a lady or a gentleman. You want to have class. You want to have dignity and demeanor.
See, I just okay. So here's the thing. Is, I think, what we were saying before, the old generation, in this show, is using more swear words, and the young generation is being more PC, right?
No. I don't.
I think that's kind of what's been.
Is that what we're saying?
Being a little bit more vulgar, the younger generation has been being more PC. Obviously, they're still thinking the things; they're just not saying it, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Or they're skirting around saying it.
Right. Now, I think there is an interesting thing to note here is that Dennis, he may be the older part of the older couple here, but he's trying to be young. You understand what I'm saying? And she knows she's old, and she's kind of knows her place.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
She knows this is my place. He's trying to be young, saying, let's go out, let's go. And when he swears, that's a slip of him being old, and he's trying to, no, pardon me. I'm young.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
And the young, I think the young couple is just the opposite in a way.
No, I don't think so.
I think
nah, the young couple still swore a lot too. The young couple still swore a lot. Yeah.
The boy didn't. The woman is trying to be old. She was trying to be older. He knows his place.
But I don't think
that's the way I saw it.
I don't think it's an inherent thing that the old people are just say fuck more.
No.
Because I think young characters are just as vulgar. The difference is that for old people, or at least in my opinion, maybe not the characters on this show, but they are more likely to hate on and hurt other people. And they're very flippant about it. However, they still believe in some sort of class and dignity.
Yeah.
As opposed to younger characters who are perhaps...
Where we don't want to say mean things about people.
Right.
But we'll go ahead and drop the F-bomb and do all these things.
Or more specifically, there's still that... Again, potential for hatred. There is still that capacity in which they can be horrible towards other people. It's that you just don't see it as often.
I just think it's the way they're being vulgar is different.
Yeah.
I don't think it's...
Certainly.
You know what I mean?
Certainly.
Like, the obviously, the young boy, he was being vulgar in a very different way. He wasn't swearing. He wasn't saying anything rude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she almost wanted him to, though. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Well, he wanted to connect with her too, and that's a whole other part.
The
of
The young
that
boy?
Scene. Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so.
She wanted a connection.
She wanted.
Oh, what did I say? Did I say he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, she wanted to connect with him. You know, she wanted to.
And he wanted to connect with her.
Right. He wanted. Yeah.
Sorry, that was bad. I'm sorry. I'll apologize for that one.
Okay.
I had one more thing to say about this before.
You had something to say about Tourette's, didn't you? Something offensive about Tourette's.
It's yeah, good you know, he forgot it.
Oh no, you know what? Yeah.
Oh no, we avoided it.
We're falling into the
The young people. The younger people, I feel, were in a way they were all. You ever notice they were all depressed? They were all trying to find their place. They didn't understand like what they were doing, which is normal. They're young, you know. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm wondering, does that have anything to do with maybe this PC, not necessarily PC, I'm trying to find a better terminology, but the way that they are acting compared to the older generation, you know, is it maybe the fact that they're reserving themselves so much is what's causing all these problems? Because they keep blaming problems on other things, like his daughter, for example, blaming things on him, but maybe it's just the way she's living that's causing her all this depression. She's blaming him. I'm wondering...
Well, no, I mean...
Is it the reservations that are causing him to not really live, whereas the older people, they don't have these reservations, and they, you know, in some ways, especially Pete, for example, seems very alive.
Yeah.
Very lively.
Old Pete or young Pete?
Sort of. However, there's a very telling scene that with Tourette's girl, it's a horrible thing to call her, but Tourette's girl...
Trisha.
She has a name.
Let's not call it Tourette's girl. That feels wrong.
Feels dirty. Yeah,
that feels wrong. Right. Beep,
beep. Right. Erase that from the memory. Forget I ever said that. When she says, yeah, I'm off my medication because I want to live. I want to go out there. I want to work.
And yeah, she was who I was thinking.
And
yeah.
Pete goes, you know, I don't have that luxury. I have to take medication or else I can't function. I have to dull myself out. I have to be a little more numb. And he resents the fact that she's going out and living. And that is one of the things that I found very – to sort of pivot, I think, off of that point about this family is that they – I think, resent happy people. I think they are, for the most part, very miserable. Pete is a miserable person. Older Pete, Uncle Pete's a miserable person. Horace is a miserable person. Mm-hmm. That I think, in some respects, resents his daughter for going out there and living a happy life without him. I think the sister is.
But she's not living a happy life, though.
But she's away from him.
Yeah, the key is.
But that wasn't working.
She doesn't need him.
Yeah,
I don't she think does she... though. That's why she's there. She said that in the scene. She basically said, "I'm here because being away from you didn't work."
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't think I don't think being with him is working either. And I don't think the issue is him at all.
Okay,
is what I'm trying to say.
Fair enough.
But
they all hate happy people, I think, don't they? Like also the sister Edie Falco.
Well, no, people. I don't think they hate happy people.
I think that's just a human trait.
Grass is greener on the other side.
You know, yeah, the grass is greener. But you're always gonna. You see. If you're, you know, at work and you're making a little, and you're making money, but you come along and someone comes and you realize, oh, well, they're making more money than me. I don't get why they are, and I'm not. Why is he making more money than me?
Yeah.
And I think that's just
it's certainly a noble thing not to do that. I mean, I see that. I mean, we all are guilty of that at times. And
I'm going to sound like a.
Go ahead.
Total douche.
Yeah.
But the Germans have a word, I think you two both know it, Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
Which is happiness at the misery of others.
Sure.
To be, and I think that.
It's a very German thing.
It's very German. So German.
I can say that I'm half German.
I'm part German. I can say that. It's very German.
Half of me is allowed to say that.
But no, I think that is human nature.
Yeah.
You see other people happy. If you're not happy like them, you don't want them to be happy, but then you want to be happy.
Sure. Sure.
And knowing you can't. Makes you hate them even more.
Right. How dare you be happy while I'm miserable?
Exactly.
Yeah. Those are the people that I really respect the most are the ones that can truly, and I try to be supportive of people, but that can truly enjoy other people's happiness.
Yeah, well, no, I try to be supportive of people.
I do too.
But there's always that voice in the back of my mind saying, I hope you fail.
Sure.
Like, I hope you don't do well, and I hope you stop. But out front, I'm like, oh no, that sounds like a great idea.
Mm.
Go to that job where you're making a ton of money. Go, do it. I don't care. Go. Yeah. I hope you fail. Do it. I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this, even within the family too, I think there's that dynamic of the sister hates Uncle Pete for, you know, for just carrying on this tradition that he loves. This is all he has.
Really, yeah, this is it.
You know, and she hates him for whatever reason, probably because he was a horrible person. But still, she does not want him to be happy in life.
Right.
Uncle Pete does not want his nephews to be happy, and always reminding him about his granddaughter, niece, about how fat she is all the time. Doesn't want his children to outgrow him. He always wants to have that, just that.
He wants to pull him down.
Right. He always wants to just have that grip on him. They can always just sort of yank him back once they're feeling good. You know, everybody in this family is just always, they're resentful of each other's joy. And that's the dynamic here. Kind of a depressing dynamic, but it is really fascinating for this show.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, so I think it's interesting because there's really just a lot of old versus young. That's what I see. You know, maybe it's a little too black and white, but that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
No, it
is.
And
it's a show about generations.
Like Pete, young Pete here.
Yeah.
I'm saying that, you know, generously because he's still very old compared. especially compared to Tourette's girl, you know? She's the one
Trisha.
I forgot.
I don't know why, but it bugs me saying Tourette's girl.
Sorry, slip of the Tourette's.
I know why it bothers you. You don't have to say I don't know why. I have a good idea why.
Anyways, Trisha.
If we didn't know her name, I would be totally okay with calling her Tourette's
girl. No, we're labeling her by a disorder that affects millions of people.
But you know what? The reason I call her that, too, is because that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Sure.
She is one of the young people who's actually living.
Sure. You know? Yeah.
And Pete.
And she seems happy about it, too.
Yeah. And Pete, he's one of the old people. He can't. Do you know what I mean? He's at the beginning, he was talking about how he didn't really live his first half of his life, and he's trying to live his life.
Yeah, that's how the episode started, basically.
And he can't.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
If
you look at the Tinder date, again, I didn't even like that scene. It's funny that we're talking about it, but that scene was kind of weird for me. It felt out of place.
But it was important.
It was important. Of just like, here's this young kid, he's on his phone the whole time. He just wants to fuck. He wants no human connection whatsoever. Right? This is a guy that is... he wants a connection with his penis, not with
physical connection.
Right,
not the same.
Yeah.
Yes. So, like, that's a kid not living, and then you have this older generation, and also Jessica Lange's character too. I think wants to live, right? Like she, I, She's miserable, but I think she does.
Well, no, I mean, when Dennis was saying, let's go out, she goes, why can't we just paint this place red? Oh. Like, let's stay here. Why do we need to go anywhere?
Fair point. However, she also, at the beginning of the episode, came into Louis's bedroom.
I think that was part of the fantasy.
No, that was the fantasy. That's the fantasy.
That was part of the fantasy,
that's
too?
That's the fantasy.
They were both fantasies.
Yes.
Nico didn't understand this.
Okay. So, talk about the fantasies.
Up until the fantasy, I'm like, it's still weird that she was in his bedroom that morning. And then I'm like, oh, she wasn't.
I don't think that was a fantasy, though.
No, it was. I didn't want to get into that quite yet, though. I want to wait a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because now we've talked about old and young. Now I want to just really delve into two characters and see what you guys think about it.
Okay.
Obviously, we have Horace and Horace's sister, who we just recently found has breast cancer.
What's her name?
Sylvia?
Yes, Sylvia. Yes, Sylvia. Sylvia, who we just found out has breast cancer.
Yes.
So, how does the old and young play into them? That's what I want to ask you, because there's a very, very clear theme. It's very clear. It's almost in your face.
Well, I don't think it applied at that time. I think it applied when...
I don't think it applies directly to them, but I think it all intertwines.
Well, no, I think it applies to when Horace was meeting up with... What's the daughter's name? Alice. When Horace was meeting up with Alice, she straight up said, it's because you're old that you're afraid. Don't worry, she'll be fine.
Okay. Okay.
You know, he's freaking out about it. I think it's safe to say that Sylvia, at least to me, looks younger, acts younger than Horace does.
I agree.
And I think she was sort of taking it with sort of a nonchalance. Like, she wasn't, she's not happy that she has cancer, don't get me wrong. She's scared, but Horace was definitely taking it harder than the person who has cancer.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And I think that goes back to what you were saying with the younger people want to try to live, where the older people are just sort of content.
But I think there's also a thing, maybe I'm just imposing it on the show, but there's the tradition of when old people are faced with adversity, they deal with it a lot differently than young people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying old people tend to rough it out and sort of just say, you know what, I'm gonna get through this on my own. I'm not going to complain about it. I don't need anybody else's help.
Mm-hmm.
And young people tend to be a lot more open with it and tend to depend on the people around them a lot more. I don't know what – I think she was kind of doing a little bit of both here, right? Like, she was going to her brother clearly because it was sort of a cry for help. I would interpret that scene as a cry for help.
Well, I mean, yeah, she said –
I couldn't tell if she was trying to manipulate him or not, though.
But
it started to feel like it.
But
it seems like everything she does has
an ulterior motive.
An ulterior motive to sell the bar. To go to the bar.
Yeah, but
I think that's sort of not the sense.
Oh, that's interesting. But, okay, so do you think that she is playing up the breast cancer because she wants the bar to be sold?
She also lied and said that her daughter didn't know. And her daughter had been taking care of her. Do you know what I mean?
So is it one or the other? What came first? Does she want the bar to get sold and therefore she's using the breast cancer?
Yes.
You think so? I don't know. I don't think.
I think the show is getting that dark. No, I think that's her ultimate plan.
I think that's a cynical view of the character.
Okay, but it fits. It's the only explanation that explains all the clues.
Nico's opposite explanation is that she got the breast cancer and that's why she wants to sell the bar.
Right.
To afford it.
And that's why...
That's possible, right. too.
And at first, she didn't want to play that card. At first, she was just going to... She was going to try to convince them anyway.
So you're saying she knew and then...
She has known.
Okay.
We know that she's known, right? She didn't want to play that card with Horace ahead of time. She didn't want to let him in on this.
Well, did she say when she found out?
I would assume it's been for a while.
She didn't.
Because... No, she didn't. But also remember, she's been trying to sell the bar for a while.
But she only just recently got the attorney involved.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but because that's because they had to wait like a year.
I think she always wanted to sell the bar. I think it got real.
Right.
You think this was
now
sort of a bad phrase, but this was a disease of opportunity?
Yes. That was a perfect
disease
phrase,
of coincidence.
That was the most perfect phrase you could possibly use.
Can we name the episode that?
Yeah.
What?
Disease of opportunity.
Why not? I'm on board.
Oh my God.
In asking you guys this, I like asking questions. I think it's more insightful than just talking.
Yeah.
From asking you guys this, I've kind of come to my own conclusion just now. I think Horace and Sylvia are the most middle-aged characters of everybody in this show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think they're kind of like, especially with Horace, though. Sylvia, we don't get as much insight. But with Horace, like, he is.
Horace is, yeah.
I feel like he doesn't know which way he's supposed to go.
Absolutely.
Right?
Horace is the medium in which they all come together.
Right. And I think Sylvia is, obviously, as a sister, very close on that. And Pete is older than Horace, right?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure he's fairly significantly older.
No.
I thought he was, but even
if... Yes, he is.
Even if he isn't...
I'm like 95% sure he is.
Even if he isn't, though...
But by like a year or two.
I thought it was a few more, but even if he isn't, like, his disease, I guess, his handicap, obviously is putting him in a different category, I think.
Yeah.
We get less of him, though, too. Whereas with Horace... You have, this is his uncle pulling him in one direction. He respects his uncle. He respects the tradition of that bar.
Yes.
But not, he's got his sister sort of pulling him. He also has his daughter. That's the only character where there are two distinct points of view.
Yeah.
Where he could go one way or another. There's three generations there. Pete doesn't have a child, so he doesn't really have that other influence in his life.
And I think that reflects mainly with the fact that in the first episode, he asked his girlfriend, who I can't remember her name, to move out. That way... his daughter can move in and be happy, but he doesn't want his sister to sell it because it makes somebody else happy, even though it makes him utterly miserable to own this bar.
Is he selfish?
No, I don't think so.
I think he's selfless.
I disagree. I don't think he's being selfish at all. I don't think he cares about the bar.
He's being selfless.
Yeah. He's selfless towards...
He wants everyone to be happy. Absolutely. no matter the pain Absolutely. It causes him.
See, okay.
100%.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know last time we talked about a little bit too, we dug into this towards the end about Louis C.K. or Horace, either one, about their conservative / liberal bias.
Well, that's all you two.
And, well, no.
I'm out.
I can simplify it a little bit if you want. Yeah. Conservative is like generally the older.
No, I know the difference.
You got that? Okay. Yes.
I just don't care. That's what it comes down to.
But like as we came to the conclusion, like Louis, like. Right in the middle. And so is Horace, obviously.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Was there a lot of political stuff this episode? There was just the one scene towards the beginning about
the refugees.
Yeah, the Syrian refugees.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. That was one of the... Because they, I guess, do this week to week. They sort of insert current events into the...
Yes.
Into the dialogue.
I had an idea and I just totally lost it.
It'll come back.
Great. and there it goes. Yeah, they insert the Syrian refugees. They talk about how much they rape.
If you remember, just let us know.
Too much rape, some might.
They did. There was too much rape. It never ends.
They practically said it.
They literally, they almost
said it. What did Leon say? He said, if everyone's raping, then no one's getting raped. I think that's what he said.
Very profound. He said there's no one left to rape.
Oh, yeah.
That is a profound statement.
And then
he's probably my favorite character.
He took those statements back.
He immediately goes...
He retracted.
He goes, I want to take those sentences. I love Leon.
That should be at a fortune.
Can I see your list?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Because I have a feeling we were just talking about something that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah. There's a few bullet points.
Oh, I remember. Okay. I remember.
All right, go ahead.
You have it written, so we'll talk about it.
Okay. So that was the thing at the beginning, and that got into a conversation about... about the Holocaust.
That's right. Yeah. We should talk about this.
Yes.
This is a big deal.
Yes. So the Holocaust gets brought up, and I don't remember exactly how, but it devolved into this thing about...
Well, no, I know how, because it seemed like a conversation that... sort of along the lines that I would have with people.
Okay, how do
you talk about Germany?
Because he was talking about the refugees going to Germany and getting put in refugee camps.
Ah, that's right.
But then it became this whole thing about, he was talking about the Holocaust, and then Uncle Pete was like, don't joke about that.
Right.
Like, he was very strict.
I almost thought he was getting Holocaust denier for a second. I almost thought that's where it was going. Good on Uncle Pete.
Holocaust's real.
On the right side of history on that one. Good for Uncle Pete.
I have relatives.
He had a friend who couldn't cry, right?
Yes.
Yeah, who couldn't cry when he was liberating a camp.
So,
I think that, it's 90% I'm positive it was a made up story. I'm sure somebody liberated a camp and just couldn't cry.
Yeah.
But I think it was just a powerful thing to hear, even if it was fictitious.
You saying made up in terms of real life, or you saying Pete made it up?
No. I'm saying I don't think Louis knows anybody.
I would probably agree.
I agree completely. For a second, I thought you were accusing.
No. I'm not accusing old Pete of making up a story. I'm saying the physical writing into the show. I don't think Louis C.K. knew anyone who knew anything.
No,
like
I would agree.
You know how I know that? Because here's how the story ended. The guy started thinking about Bambi, and that made him cry. Here's my question to you two fine gentlemen. Did you cry at Bambi?
No.
No? Nick, did you cry at Bambi?
I Honestly, I just wanted some venison.
I wouldn't even watch Bambi.
Oh, no. That is not nice.
Have you had venison? You haven't. Nick, have you had venison?
I have not.
You need. It's good.
Mike said he was going to invite me over for venison. Never have.
Bambi's mom.
Mike has been inviting me over for venison for 6 years. The only venison he ever gave me was a piece of venison jerky that fell on the ground.
Is he just like a bad hunter? Or is...
No.
He's probably a really good hunter.
No, he doesn't hunt. His father hunts.
His father hunts.
But
I thought he hunted.
No.
Really?
No, he goes shooting, but he doesn't hunt.
Oh, okay.
But no, he's just really bad at portioning out venison. he will eat a whole deer in a day if
That's
he could.
Amazing.
What's the most emotional Disney movie?
Either Bambi or Lion King, right?
What's the one that makes you cry the most? What's Click. The one?
Oh, Click.
I don't think it was Disney. I don't sure? think they put that. I'm pretty sure Click was not a Disney have. Movie. Could have been. The Shaggy Dog was a Disney movie.
Oh, my
God.
Was it?
Shaggy
might
dog.
Not have been, actually. I might totally make that up.
The New York Jets. ESPN.
Okay. Lion King. Lion King's pretty emotional.
I'd probably say it's got to be Lion King.
Oh,
or
no. Lilo and
Bambi.
Stitch.
Right?
Lilo and Stitch.
I always tear up when Stitch runs away. Always tear up.
Okay. I did not see that coming.
I always tear up then, and I always tear up right at the end when Stitch is like going to get carried away and he says Ohana. Oh my God.
I liked the cartoon Lilo and Stitch.
Gets me emotional just thinking about it.
I was a fan of that. I mean.
Yeah, with 625. The guy who makes all the sandwiches.
Yes. Does.
625. He was experiment 625. What? Are we going to ignore that fact? He was.
No. Stitch was 626, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And he was the one before. He has all the powers of Stitch, but chooses not to use them.
Right. Was he red?
No. He was yellow. The red one's
Spitfire. He's the tall, thin one, right? 625?
No, 65 was the tiny, short one.
Stitch. He was literally Stitch that was yellow, right? Yeah.
Oh, no, he was like a bear.
You're right.
Stitch is a dog. No. I'm making it. Stitch looked like a dog.
Okay.
625 looked like a teddy bear. Like a bear.
Right. But there was a red version of Stitch. That was 627, I think, right? Or 628?
The one who spit fire?
Yeah.
No. That was like 4-8 cool. 3 or something like that. I'm making up the list. I think he was in the 400s.
Does Toy Story 3 count as a Disney movie?
Yeah.
Because that's the most emotional, right?
That's
oh, no. Isn't that Pixar?
Yeah.
I mean, it's both.
But no, Nico... Okay. Nico and I have had a conversation
Disney,
like this.
Pixar.
And he has made the clear definition, Pixar doesn't count as Disney.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you're right.
No, it does.
Using my own words against me, yeah.
I think it does.
Guessing Zootopia?
Yes.
Good movie.
Great movie.
Good movie.
Better than Batman v Superman.
We're not talking about Batman v Superman.
I'm just putting it out there.
Not even close. So Bambi, he thought of Bambi to cry when he was at a concentration camp.
And then Leon, your favorite character.
And then Leon,
should
yeah.
I let you take it away?
And then Leon was said just so casually, oh yeah, I'm the total opposite. Oh. But no, he was saying how he went to go see Bambi and he couldn't cry and tried thinking of sad things to make him cry. And I think this is why it's so powerful. At the end, he finishes the whole thing off with saying, basically, it's sad how we can't show our emotions when we want to.
Oh, man. You know, for such a silly scene, that is true. That is a very powerful statement.
I'm telling you, that whole thing, just culminating in that one sentence, is... It's powerful.
Leon. I love
honestly, it gave me goosebumps as soon as he said it. I'm like, oh,
goosies.
Wow.
Is that because living in the moment makes it difficult for us to express how we feel about that moment?
We're at an hour, by the way. No pressure, but...
I'm just saying.
Really?
Yeah,
we are.
Holy I'm just saying,
hell.
Living in the moment like that, does it make it more difficult to interpret how we feel about that moment? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean?
Or that emotions are theater, and that emotions are the show that we put on... Because that is the way that society expects us to act. And that, you know, I'm seeing Bambi. I'm not getting emotional, but my girlfriend's getting emotional. I better get emotional, too, because I have to follow her lead.
Well,
I'm at a concentration camp. I got
to
cry.
I think it goes back to the phrasing of that sentence.
Yeah.
It said that we can't show emotion when we want to.
Yeah. But that is a contradiction in itself, right? Because emotion is not supposed... It's supposed to be involuntary.
Because I have trouble showing emotions except anger. I get angry quickly.
But is that because you don't have them?
No,
or
no,
because
no.
you're just
no,
not
I
showing
100%
them?
Have them. I just choose, not choose, but I don't express them the way I want to.
Mm.
You know, if I watch if I see something sad, I want to be sad about it and I want to tear up, but I can't. And I think that is what he was saying.
That's interesting that you relate to that. Then I guess because I think that's why I relate as well.
I agree with
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's.
I think it's I'm, not hard, but for me I think to... I'm fundamentally different from you guys, yeah. though, in the sense that I am very much an open book, and I sort of wear my heart on my sleeve a yeah. lot. And you know exactly where I'm coming from. I've always interpreted it, and it's probably wrong, but I've always thought people that don't show emotions are ones that are afraid to show emotion, and that they oftentimes they run away from it and they hide from it. Because I certainly know people that are like that.
Well, no,
I mean, I don't think that's 100%.
I don't think it's 100%.
It's not, exactly, it's not
black or white. I agree with it. I do both.
Yeah.
I run from feelings, but I do wish I could show some.
Sure.
But that's
interesting that you related to that, though. The idea that it's just they have a hard time, it's just a hard time communicating. It's just
difficult, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, that's heavy, man.
Yeah.
That's oh my God, we're getting deep tonight. Jesus. Okay.
One thing we got to hit on, then.
Let's talk about the fantasy. Then I have a couple
exactly what we got to hit on.
Yeah, little
fantasy. And then I want to talk about that scene at the bar.
Okay.
The pricing.
Yes. I got some lightning round stuff at the end we'll get to. Okay. Let's talk about the fantasy stuff. Go ahead.
Oh, the fantasy
Oh, no, scenes? No. We're letting you take the fantasy
Yeah, scene. That's yours.
Oh, it's me?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So
maybe because you didn't get it.
So we're just here to point out when you're wrong.
Sure. So at the beginning of the episode, Horace is laying in bed and he's waking up, and Marcia walks in and greets him in the morning, and he's very put off by this because he's got no shirt on, and she's being very flirtatious and forward, and that scene sort of comes out of left field, and we're left wondering why that happens, yeah. And then later on in the episode hold on. Yeah.
During that scene, did you think that was real, or did you think this
The first scene I thought was real.
Okay.
I'm not convinced.
I think we all did.
Yeah. I still think it is. Here's my theory. My theory is that scene happened.
Oh, and caused...
Right, and then he revisited that in his head like, oh, that just happened. I'm going to fantasize about it now.
I don't think so.
Okay. I could be totally off.
I mean, there's validity to both points. I don't agree with you, but I do see where you're coming from with it. I mean, it makes actually a lot
of
sense.
However, kind of hard to get in the apartment, I guess.
Well, no, didn't she have a key?
Yes, she does.
She has a key.
Okay. Could go either way.
But I think so you got to keep my defense to that.
Hold on. Do we want to finish up what exactly we're talking about before we start delving into it?
Sure. Yeah.
Or do you want to finish what you were saying?
You can finish for now.
So
come back to me.
Yeah.
Later on in the episode,
we'll take it from the.
There's a scene with the two of them. The weird thing about this show too is because it's so unproduced. There's no way to differentiate visually between dream sequences.
Right, it's not like
real.
It's black and white or...
Which I found really interesting. Like, I found that really cool for some reason.
No, I liked it.
Yeah, because most shows or movies that do this, it's like in Batman vs. Superman this weekend, it's all like very hazily shot. And there's this scene with, oh, they're waking up. But I found this like really like jarring. Like, oh my God, this is a metaphor going on. This is not actually happening. However, it's not shot any different. I don't know. I found that just off-putting, but in a cool way. But anyway, they're on a couch together, and they start talking dirty to each other.
Well, she starts talking dirty.
Right.
He really just says, uh-huh.
And they get into this conversation about how sick Louis C.K.'s fantasies are, Horace's fantasies are, how messy and dirty, and there's a lot of very explicit detail, and it gets funny but also really uncomfortable. And then it becomes obvious to you guys before it came obvious to me.
I was going
to
say, it was very obvious.
That this...
Pretty early on for us.
Sure. This is going on in Louis' head as he is masturbating.
Yes.
And he ends the conversation by saying, I just came.
Which was hilarious,
and then
by
it,
the way.
And then it cuts back
well,
to...
Well, no, they kept
then
talking
they,
about
then
something.
Then they say they want to play cards.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Louis' like, do you want to play cards?
And then it ends.
Right. A little more chit-chat, and then goes back to Marcia downstairs, but this has been happening upstairs, essentially, in Louis' head as he is jerking off. Give me your thought, Nick. All
right. Part of my defense, I think, is the way she was talking to him in the morning,
mm-hmm.
the first scene. One of the things she really explicitly goes into is, like, you know, this was my bed once.
Yeah.
And I suppose it was your mother's bed, too. First off, the idea, this was my bed once, I think that might be like, yeah, you know, she used to sleep in this bed. That's how he thought of it, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, okay. This used to be her bed, and it was attractive
like
to
that,
her.
Like, that was and the then, thought that led to...
And then the thought that made him say, this is fucking creepy and weird, is, this was my mom's bed, too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that was...
That weird Freudian thing he's got going
right.
on. Right. Yeah.
So I think that's what makes me think that it was...
Interesting.
A dream. Not to mention, I would also say, compare... And it's similar, but not quite. Compare the way I think he reacted when he was, like, essentially naked and caught off guard.
Yeah.
When she came in, and the way that same thing happened when his sister came in. You know what I mean?
I see.
One's his sister.
Yeah.
But,
Okay.
It was definitely...
I see.
It was a little different.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
He wasn't as surprised when he woke up.
He wasn't as surprised when she walked in. When his sister... Oh, and he's, like, covering his nipples yeah. and shit. Like,
yeah. Interesting. You know? Oh, that's fair enough. Okay.
So okay. That's, you know...
Well, I just thought it was... Looking back when we got to the second fantasy, mm-hmm. when it became very apparent, I thought back to the first one, and I'm like, see, I don't think that really happened, just because sort of even in the first episode and this episode... When Marsha talks, she sounds drunk already.
In the first fantasy scene?
In the first episode.
Oh.
And when she's talking
a
normally.
Lot of times,
a lot of the times she sounds drunk.
Oh, I gotcha.
The first fantasy, she didn't sound drunk. She sounded pretty, not lucid, but not sort of not slurry.
Yeah. And that's what it would be like in his imagination.
Yeah, she'd be able to talk fluently.
Gotcha.
And I think that's why I don't think it really happened. Now, mind you, it was early in the morning.
Mm.
Who knows? Maybe she is an alcoholic after 3 p.m. Who knows? I don't know. But
I'm wondering if this has something to do with when he was talking about how he's just trying to sleep more and get through it. Yeah, I'm just trying to end it, you know? Remember when Louis said that?
Right.
Yeah, he's.
That's a whole other thing. That line stuck with me for some reason. But yeah, I just want to wrap this thing up. I want to wrap it up. I want to get out of here. You know, I'm done because Buscemi wanted to live his life more.
Well, I like the idea of Buscemi Zen more.
Yes.
He's trying to sleep less. That way, quote, the second half of his life is longer.
Speaking of Buscemi sleeping, I just want to point out.
a lot of time.
The one of the many brilliant things that I find in the show, in the two episodes that we've watched at least, is how little Buscemi is used.
Yeah,
and he's got big moments, and he makes great use of his screen time. But most of the time, he's just doing very menial tasks, like in this one.
He did this in the other episode too.
Yeah,
he was just sitting with.
Right. Well, the last episode he just sat there and just started staring into the distance as a very emotional conversation was happening between two characters. He was, as Sylvia is telling Horace about her cancer, Buscemi is laying in the bed
just taking a nap.
And I think he wakes up halfway through and it's quite comedic.
Yeah.
I continue to just love it so much. And I just find it great that they cast Buscemi for such a small role. Even though he's a titular character. But still, it's like, I love how little he's used.
Yeah.
Nobody else could do it better, though.
Ugh.
Oh, no, he played, yeah. Well, who, was it you, was it Nick or Nico who said, somebody said, it's amazing that they got him and they write these roles for him. And then somebody said, no, I think he suggests that. Was that you who said that?
It was one of us.
So one of you said, oh, no, I think Buscemi, like, says, okay, what if he's just taking a nap? And that's it. That's what
I almost wonder if like he wasn't even supposed to be in the scene, and he's like, no, no, no,
and he was just legit taking a nap on the couch. Like he was taking a nap between takes, and they're like, fucking
both
roll
scenes,
it.
Both scenes with this happen, and this could just be arguably just because that he lives there. Mm. But both scenes with this happen to be in their upstairs rooms where they live.
Well, no, not the.
Well, when he was sitting, wasn't
no,
that?
No, that was in the bar.
It wasn't the bar.
That was in the.
But
bar.
But it was still a conversation between.
Between Horace and Alice.
Horace and Sylvia.
Between... No. The first one was between Horace and Alice.
Really?
Yes.
In the first episode when he's staring into the distance.
When he's just...
Right.
The two of them are talking at a table. I thought they were both between Horace and Sylvia.
No.
Okay, I stand corrected. All right.
Yeah.
I thought...
He's always just there, though.
Oh, you thought because it was, like, that immediate family thing?
Yeah, I thought it was, like, an immediate family thing.
That he just decides, oh, I should be in it.
That's why he's there.
Nah, no.
Tell you what, no one plays those types of roles better. Then I mean, you know, like Big Lebowski, he mastered that art form of just the pointless character that's thrown in there
as
for
Lenin
no reason.
Said,
as I am the Walrus.
I am the Walrus.
What's a Walter, dude? no, it is. But in a weird way, it's like it adds this extra layer to the environment. Like he is a piece of furniture, but that piece
furniture.
He's a part of the mise-en-scene, as he would say.
Right. But it is it is an important piece of.
Wait. What?
I'm in a cinema studies class.
But no, what did you say?
The mise-en-scene. It's a French bullshit bourgeoisie bullshit term. For film.
Okay.
A bourgeoisie bullshit.
That's what it is. My teacher heard this right now. She'd be appalled.
Oh man.
And pleasantly surprised that I used the word correctly.
Yes. But no, he is a piece of furniture, but he is an important piece. Like he's
Hold on. We're going to get into Nico's idea of important furniture.
Yes. Like, if you're in your living room, but you have the same set of couches and chairs and whatnot sitting around your TV in your living room, you become used to that. Like, we have an armchair up in my living room that it just has been with this family forever. If you were to take that out of the room, you would know that it's gone, right? So it adds that homeliness. That is the very nature of routine and of consistency, you know.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, because he's the Pete,
right?
There's Horace and Pete. Sure, he's Pete,
right?
I.
So although he's not exactly advancing the story, his very presence, you like that guy because
it's comforting that he's there.
It's a comfort. That's exactly what it is. It's comfort, and we all know that person too. That is quiet and that blends into the background.
Who's it a comfort for? Is it a comfort for Horace?
It's comfort to anybody. I think
I think it just adds to the whole, like you said, it's Horace and Pete. Like, if it was just, like, we have Horace and Alice talking alone together in this episode, but it doesn't feel, at least in my opinion, it didn't feel right.
Okay.
Like, when Pete was there that first time, it felt comfortable. Yeah. It felt like, he does belong here.
The reason why I just love his character in Big Lebowski, it's just on the mind. I watched the whole thing the other day on a whim. I love his character in that movie because he is the only character in that friend group, actually in the whole movie, that I related to. Not necessarily that I am similar to him, but I know Donnie. You know, I know a guy that. I don't know a guy like Walter. I don't know a guy like the dude. I don't know any of, like, the thugs, but I know Donnie. I know the kid.
Okay, you know, yeah.
You know, I know the guy Donnie. That's quiet, that blends into a room, that just is there, but if you take him out, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Okay.
You know, I know that character.
Pete's the same way?
I think Pete's similar, and I think that's why Buscemi, I think, somehow does that role so well. He's just a comforting, you like that guy, even if he is, because he is an unassuming person, too.
Yeah.
It's like that he's got that face, and he's kind of, like, scrawny and short.
Laugh whenever we see him.
Sure. He's not like a consuming presence, right?
Yeah, no.
You know? And so he's perfect at that. He's likable. He's an hors d'oeuvre. Sure. Steve Buscemi, the hors d'oeuvre.
I want to say, slightly on and off note, I don't want to say that Steve Buscemi has aged well.
But you're not saying he hasn't.
But he's aged better.
You know what I mean? Man.
Than his youth.
Got it.
He looks better now than he did when he was young.
Ooh.
Still not good. Still has that weird bug eye and all that stuff going on. But he looks good for, I think
it's
he looks,
like a stinky cheese.
Yeah.
Like
an hors d'oeuvre.
Like the older the cheese, okay, yeah, it's good. It still smells though.
Well, but his looks are more acceptable now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a fine, that's perfectly
I think,
okay.
And stay with me here.
Yeah.
I think sort of the features, the big eyes, and before he was skinny and you could tell just by looking at his face. I think they've sort of calmed.
Fair enough.
Like, his eyes aren't as buggy.
I just think it is more acceptable for an old person to look like that.
You know,
is that a bad thing to say?
Well, look, because old people have been through shit.
They're not
coming through life with like a Model A body. You know what
right,
I mean? Like
yeah.
That they need new batteries.
Right.
Like they bought like a secondhand
paint job. Yeah.
Yes. Buscemi,
not
okay to look like that in Reservoir Dogs.
No.
Not all right.
No,
not
right.
Acceptable. 100%. Let's move on. Quick lightning round. I have just a couple things
to bring up
before we end this thing.
Let's go.
What do we have?
The word broad needs to come back.
Broad.
As does the word doll.
Referring to women.
Yes.
Misogynist.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
I am not a misogynist.
I think you are.
I don't think
I am. I like broad. I not a big fan of doll.
You know,
I like doll face. I don't know why.
Zach, I agree.
But I don't like doll.
Hey, doll face.
Yeah, I agree with you on like doll. Broad is significantly worse than doll. You know, I don't necessarily agree with being PC, but I also think you shouldn't be a dick. I'm torn on the issue.
I love those words. Here's
you
one.
Like old-timey
words. I think it's endearing. I think it's charming, number one.
It can be.
Number two, I hate feminists, so I am less sympathetic to their cause. I'm not going to get into it. I'm just saying, I'm not as sympathetic towards feminists as I am other minority groups, because women aren't minorities, and they're not nearly treated as badly as any other minority group in this
Move
country.
Move on.
There, I said it.
Move on.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. I would use broad in only a certain number of scenarios.
Yeah.
I would use dame more.
I would use broad to mean, like, wide, varied, you know, things like that.
Okay, but no, I would use dame a lot more than that one. I don't know why.
He's really stuck on this one.
I am, no. Dame. Would you use dame?
I have used dame.
You do use dame.
How about wench? You want to bring back wench?
Wenches before
broad. Hey, sugar tits.
Tits McGee.
That's not a good word.
Okay, we can't do that? Tits not a good word. Tits is a great word.
No, sugar tits.
When he gives you cute nicknames. How you doing, Tits McGee?
When you call a woman sugar tits. Granted, she has sugar on her tits. If her tits are sugary.
Yeah.
Well, no, then the tits are sugar tits. She's not sugar tits.
So if she is a giant tit made of sugar, call her that.
Yeah.
It's a very specific circumstance.
Okay.
Lightning round two. Let's go. We nailed it, Zach.
Round two.
High five. There we go.
Divorce seemed to be a theme that continues to come up in, I think, probably a little more subtly than other things. But I find it funny that Horace is also divorced, like he is in his other show and like he is in real life.
I was going to say, he's probably just basing that off his real life.
Yeah. So,
His TV shows are, and even a stand-up comedy, it's just a diary.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, no, he's just talking about his life.
I think this is the larger conversation I wanted to have, is that he's not really playing a character in this show.
Well, I actually was going to bring that up earlier.
Yeah.
No, this is 100%. That's why I said earlier, I believe I said Horace or Louis, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same person.
Right.
Yeah.
100%.
Right. That's a big thing. It's a big influence in stand-up comedy as well. He's always talking about his divorce, always talking about being a single father. And it's funny that it came up again about he was talking with his daughter about her mother and all the problems they've been having. I just sort of found that interesting, so I jotted it down. And then I we'll wrap on this.
Yes.
Zachary, take the floor, sir.
So this younger kid goes into the bar. I know exactly what he's talking about.
Oh, I was like, what the
fuck? Goes into the bar and he orders a beer.
Yes. Okay.
Uncle Pete pours in the beer and says it's going to be $4.50. Which, by the way, cheap for a beer.
Yeah.
Pretty cheap. God, yeah.
Okay.
$6 or $7 or $8 usually.
Oh. That's normally what it is.
For a shot, even.
Yeah.
Same amount of alcohol, though.
So he pours a beer and he says $4.50. And the kid goes, well, that guy, he just gave his in for like $3.
Mm.
And then Uncle Pete was getting pissed.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Horace butt in. He's like, I got this. And the kid was like, well, why? Like, you're discriminating against the young and blah, 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 blah.
He said, I'm Jewish. I'm gay. What is it?
Yeah, like, what is it?
And by the way, subtle way of sort of bringing
very
up.
Very subtle.
This is really not politically correct, but, like, bringing up, like, quit using your shit.
People using the race
yeah.
card?
Yeah.
No, no.
Quit playing that card. That
kid it's was. Funny, because it was very subtle. I almost missed it, to be
yeah.
totally honest.
Yeah.
He just said it like, oh, it's got to be one of these without thinking.
Right.
It's not.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I also have to say, there is no way to identify him as a Jew or a gay.
No, there's right. not.
I couldn't tell. I didn't know. Either.
He wasn't wearing a yarmulke. He wasn't sucking a dick.
You're right. Those are the only two identifying facts.
Like, two ways, yeah.
He just brought it up. Like, how is Horace supposed to know?
That's exactly what it is that irks me every time. It's not, I'm sympathetic towards minority.
Every time.
Yeah, it's that they assume that it must be this. I'm being treated unfairly, or at least I am I'm perceiving it as me being treated unfairly. It must be XYZ. When really everybody has that thing and everybody can play any card that they want to at any moment.
Yeah.
And it yes, it's exactly what it was. And it was very just subtle like
it was
sort of
very,
slipped in
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Like I yeah, said, yeah. I almost missed it.
Yeah.
But then the kid whittled it down to oh, it's because I'm a douche. It's a douche tax.
Right.
And we all agreed there needs to be a douche tax.
Technically, I didn't agree that there needs to be a douche tax. I just said that if someone brought one into legislation, douches don't vote. That's all I was trying to say. I'm not saying I condone, yeah. support.
If there was a douche tax, would
you, I'm afraid tax, would you that I would be it? Subject to it.
So, oh no, I would be subject to it at times. Don't no, get me wrong.
You wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
I think it depends on the situation. I can be. I enjoy being a douche on occasion.
You're thinking a douche wrong. That's not the group that this would be targeting.
See, but that's how do you legislate that, Nico?
Ooh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, I think what it comes down to, and this is another podcast, is what's the definition of being a douche?
See, we all have a picture in our minds, and I think it's more or less the same.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you avoid getting subjected to that category? I mean, you don't have a problem, Nico.
I'll give you a few things.
No, you're fine.
I'll give you a few things I would tax. You ready? Here's what I'm taxing. I want to tax the indie music CDs sold at Starbucks. We're taxing that shit. Okay.
Just at Starbucks?
Yes. We are taxing...
Now, is this a percentage tax or a price tax? Like a flat tax?
Just saying add an extra $2.
Or is it... Because this beer went from $3 to $4.50. So we're assuming it's a 50% tax.
Ooh, I'm down. That's fine. Yeah, 50%. 50% tax. Let's do it. That's what we're taxing. What else are we taxing? Thick rim glasses. I guess I would have to pay for that, but whatever. I'll take the hit on that. The hipster glasses, we're taxing that.
No, that's different.
Okay.
That's totally different.
See, I don't picture that as a douche.
No.
That's not being a douche. If you
That's a hipster.
If you're buying
you're assuming a hipster is a douche.
But if you're buying them with an ironic t-shirt, yeah, tax the shit out of it.
Yeah.
But if you're buying it because you literally need glasses to see.
I think they were using the term interchangeably in this, though. Because Louis was like, yeah, you're coming in here because you're young and hip and you're making fun of the place.
He said...
You're going there ironically. That's exactly what a hipster is.
Yeah, he said, you get to come here with your friends to be ironic. This guy's here because he lives down the road.
Right. Because he's a bum and this is all he has in life.
See, but then you're drawing a fine line between taxing, you know, like, the indie music scene versus, like, UConn frats. Like, those are not the same thing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Fair... Oh, ooh! This is a podcast for another day. There is that umbrella, huh?
This week.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Next week's is
the Next week, tax. We're going to break down the douche tax.
Here. Write up. Here's what I want you guys to do. You have homework.
Okay.
Within the next week, you're going to write down what you would tax and why with the douche tax.
I think we need to also categorize the douche.
We're going to draft a bill, and we're going to send it to the Senate.
We're going to draft a bill next week. We're going to draft a bill.
High fives. Hold on. High five.
Okay. All right. Coming up next week.
So that's next week.
The
Stay
audience
tuned.
Loves it.
Stay
oh,
tuned
the audience loves
tax.
The idea. It's really great. All right.
Oh, my God.
We might not be able to sustain an hour, but we'll try it.
We will.
That's
we
an
will.
Interesting conversation.
Yes,
all right.
It is. That's why next week. Okay.
Great.
Done.
Awesome. Good.
Seriously, go watch
this
show.
This show is like, we're finding more and more themes piling on, but really there is this one central theme, and I appreciate that he's sticking to it.
Yeah.
And there's so much to talk about with it.
It's a great show.
It's a great show.
It's a
really
show.
Good show.
This is
awkward and sort of uncomfortable, but it's
one
great.
Of the, you know, I can tell that we're actually becoming professional podcasters as a group. As a unit.
I think professional
because we're able to watch
paid.
Good things and talk about them and still have a good show. We were watching bad things as a cheap shot. They were a crutch.
We watched Pompidou.
Yes.
Because
that
we
was a crutch.
Because we made fun of Pompidou.
It was a crutch.
Now we're watching Horse and Pete, and we're actually going into being like, oh, well, these are the themes.
And we're getting this to the point where we can watch bad things and talk about them seriously, too.
Yes.
And, you know,
we did with Wolf Cop, sort of.
Well, Wolf Cop was
like
a shit
a
show.
A little bit. No,
I'd say
what?
The one before that.
Funny
the,
Games.
Funny Games is a better example.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's not fair. I like Funny Games.
No, but I'm... Well,
no, I get
I'm
it. No, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, less artsy-fartsy, I think.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Hey, Zach.
Yes.
You just bought the whole box set to Batman, the original series.
I thought you were going to tell me it was naughty, but...
No, we're getting there.
I feel like he's leading into it with a really weird segue.
You bought that box set, and if anybody else wanted to buy that box set, I know a way that they can do that. How can they?
Not the way I did it.
How did he do it?
I didn't go through Amazon.NicoEmpire.com.
Pretty smooth. It almost came out as a question, but it didn't.
Almost. Well, no, because I'm like, I can never remember if it's NicoEmpire.Amazon or Amazon.NicoEmpire.
Yes, Amazon.NicoEmpire.com. That's the place to go to do all your Amazon shopping. Support the podcast. Help me pay my debt to Nick.
That'd be nice.
His $25.
And help us get a new microphone in here.
Hey, Nico, you want to know something funny?
What?
I found $100 today.
You did?
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, can I borrow another $100?
It was Christmas money that my Grammy gave me.
God. I found it. Fallen from the sky. Joe.
But I still want that 25.
Right. I found a 10 just sitting on my Xbox the other day. I don't ever remember putting a 10 on my Xbox, but it was just sitting there.
Maybe somebody played it and felt guilty.
By the way,
do you two
know code at all?
HTML?
Yeah. I know some I'm doing HTML it at work right now. And some C++. Yeah. Why?
Cool. We're revamping the site.
I got it for you, bud. We got this.
He's your best bet.
Okay, I may need some assistance along the way, but
you know, hands down,
we are moving to new servers and things. I'm going to get really technical.
Are you doing WordPress still?
I'm going to keep the WordPress theme. It's really technical, but I'm going to put it on an independent hosting
this
server.
This is good podcast material.
Rather than just hosting it on WordPress as a blog. So I'm going to put it in, and I'll be able to like put ads on it and own it actually, as opposed to
WordPress is good. You just got to be careful.
Yeah,
putting too many things might change things a lot. But you know, trial and error.
Yes. So that's just for the listeners a forewarning that if your feeds get fucked up and the podcast doesn't come out right, just
is there an alternate source for them to get their?
I mean, it'll always be on iTunes, but a lot of things are.
But you know, if things go haywire, go to iTunes, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Ultimately. I mean, that's going to be the safest. Yes. Or not changing anything.
And the URL's not going to change either. It's just going to get a little
wonky. It's just the interface is going to change.
Tech talk. But updates coming, and it's a good time.
All right.
All right? Y'all been naughty.
Y'all been naughty.
All right.
Fuck you.
What'd you just say? Huh? You said that, and I was like, are you still recording?
No.
Sometimes I wonder, why do we tear ourselves to pieces? I just need some time to think. Or maybe I just need